Almighty God, we come before you and we ask that you would feed us through the word that has been read and the word that will be preached. And Lord, I pray that you would put in our hearts seeds of the gospel, seeds that will bear fruit for your kingdom, making Christ known in this world. And so we commend ourselves fully and wholly to your love and care this morning. In the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning. If you would, go ahead and turn with me to our gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Today is the first in a series of sermons that will be entitled Epiphany Basics for Making Christ Known. Of course, our theme this year at Christ Church is Back to the Basics, developing a deep-rooted culture of discipleship. And so we are going to be, each of the seasons, we're going to be focusing on some of the basic items of our life in Christ together. And that's, of course, what this sermon series will be doing here throughout the season of Epiphany. And through this series, we'll see from God's Word that deep roots in Christ produce a bold witness for Him. Deep roots in Christ produce a bold witness for Him. And our pathway over the next 5 weeks is simple and it's foundational. We'll look at identity, confession, conversion, formation, and then finally, mission. This morning, we start at the beginning with identity. And we enter today's gospel reading, the baptism of our Lord, standing on holy ground. For here, the identity of the Son of God is publicly declared. The Spirit visibly descends upon him, and the Father's voice resounds over the waters. For us, this morning, as we read that portion of Scripture, as we reflect upon it here in this sermon, in beholding Christ's identity at his baptism, we rediscover our own identity given to us in our baptisms. You see, Scripture insists that discipleship begins not with what we do, or with how we feel, but with who we are. Before Jesus ever heals, teaches, calls his disciples, or confronts the devil, as he will in the next chapter in the wilderness, the Father identifies him, declares who he is in chapter 3, verse 17, with these words, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." His identity as God's beloved Son becomes the root system for his mission that he is inaugurating here in this baptism. And for those who have been brought into union with him through baptism, by faith and repentance, united to his death and resurrection, his root system for mission is our root system for mission. But this scriptural vision of identity is directly at odds with our cultural moment. Today, identity is seen as something that we build, something that we create, we curate online, express, and protect through whatever means we find necessary. We are told that identity is an inner psychological truth that must be expressed outwardly, and that others must affirm it, or we lose ourselves. We lose who we are. The result, though, is that we are fragile, anxious selves, because if we construct our identity, then we are the ones who must sustain it, we are the ones who must defend it. Often, we are the ones who must constantly reinvent it to face whatever situation or the changing of the times. Scripture, however, offers a radically different vision. We see here that identity is not constructed, but rather it is conferred. It's not self-generated, but it's rather God-given. It is not forged through self-expression, but received in response to God's gracious initiative. In the Jordan, in the waters of baptism, identity flows from the Father's voice, not from self-expression of the Son. And so it is with us who have been baptized into Christ. And with that contrast in mind, Matthew reveals for us this morning three truths. Three truths. First, the Father simply reveals the identity of the Son. Second, the Spirit anoints the servant. He anoints the Son. And thirdly there, our baptismal identity in Christ is a missionary identity. A missionary identity. So first, we see that the Father reveals the Son. Matthew describes Jesus entering the waters of the Jordan to be baptized by John. And John protests, "No, sir, Not me, not today, not now, not no way. I need, he says in verse 14, I need to be baptized by you. How is it that you are asking me to do this? You see, Jesus, as John knew, has no sin to confess, no repentance to enact, nothing to cleanse. Yet Jesus says to John, I imagine a very gentle and understanding voice in verse 15, let it be so, John. Let this happen so that we might fulfill all righteousness. Jesus does not enter the waters because he's a sinner, but because we are. When he enters the Jordan to be baptized, Jesus is identifying himself with fallen Israel, with broken humanity, completely and completely. He is identifying with those for whom he has come to save. Then we discover there that climactic moment in verses 16 and 17. You can just imagine what this must have been like for John and for those around, some of those early disciples that might have seen this. As he rises from the water, as John brings him up out of the water, the heavens split open, and then the Spirit of God descends upon Jesus as a dove, and the Father declares in thunderous voice, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." You see, Jesus in the waters of baptism is not becoming the Son. He is being revealed as the eternal Son of God. This is Epiphany, after all. He's being revealed, unveiled. Before the Son does anything, before Jesus does anything, the Father names him. The Father identifies him to the world. And in doing so, we learn that identity precedes activity. So what does that mean for us, though? It means that our identity, who we are, is not rooted in our performance or in our feelings about ourselves, but rather in God's proclamation over us that claims us as his children through baptism. That's received by faith and repentance. And this directly confronts our cultural assumptions today that our identity must be self-made and not received. Modern identity gives you a burden, and it is a burden. Become yourself. Wait. Design yourself. Wait. Prove yourself. Wait. Curate your identity. Wait. But the biblical identity that God gives us is pure rest. You belong to me. You're mine. Full stop. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're mine. You're my beloved child. The world tells you that our identity is fragile, it's provisional, it's revisable, but God tells you that our identity is secure. And as we've heard in our lessons this morning, it's covenantal and eternal because it is an identity that's given to us in Christ, the eternal Son of God, eternally beloved. Therefore, we are eternally the children of God, eternally beloved in Christ. What is true of him is true of you, beloved daughter, beloved son. God is pleased with you in Christ. So first, we see that the Father reveals the Son. Second, we see then that the Spirit anoints the servant. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1 prepares us for our Matthew text when he says, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, and whom my soul delights, I have put my Spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." Matthew then, of course, presents the fulfillment of this passage when Jesus is revealed as a beloved son and as the Spirit-anointed servant. Here, the prophecy in Matthew's gospel becomes visible and audible. The Father's delight is heard, and the Spirit's resting or descending upon him is seen. Yet, the descent of the Spirit is not given because Jesus lacks the Spirit. This is important. As God's Son, as the eternal Word, Jesus is himself the source of the Spirit, along with the Father. But in his humanity, he receives the Spirit for us. Remember, he's in these waters for us. He receives the Spirit for us and for our salvation. The Spirit's anointing of Jesus is for his mission to save. Peter makes this clear in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. When he says, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about mission, doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And of course, if we were to continue on past our reading, we'd hear that it includes his death and resurrection as well. The Spirit's anointing, therefore, is vocational. Jesus is consecrated for mission. And it's intricately connected to who he is. And here again, Scripture contrasts with modern culture, for our world insists that identity is fundamentally self-referential. Be you, boo. Be true to yourself. While Scripture insists that identity is fundamentally relational. You are my son. You are my daughter. And it's also vocational. You see, it's oriented, our identity in Christ is oriented outside of ourselves, away from ourselves, toward God and toward others. To be named by God as a son or a daughter is to be sent by God. It's to be given a vocation. It's to be on mission. You see, Christian identity is not a cul-de-sac where we just drive into and then park and live there our entire lives and never leave. Christian identity is a commissioning to make Christ known, to manifest, to unveil, to reveal him in this world. And this leads us to that third truth. Our baptismal identity in Christ is a missionary identity. For many Christians, baptism is treated as a sentimental moment, a cultural rite of passage. We can too easily fall into this when we baptize our children. Some of us treat it as a marker of forgiveness alone or merely a sign of personal faith. But biblically and theologically, baptism is far more than that. It is incorporation into Christ by his Spirit. Union. Union with his death and resurrection. What is true of him is true of us. We have died to our sins in Christ, and we've been raised to the new life that he has. But it's also entry into his mission. It is commissioning. Notice that just beyond our lesson in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, the Spirit is eager to get about the business. And being led by the Spirit, he was pushed into the wilderness. It doesn't say pushed. But he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. We hear this missional aspect of our baptism even in the prayer. When we receive the sign of the cross after we've been baptized, we hear this offered: receive the sign of the cross. The priest marks the sign over the forehead in the chrism, oil of chrism. Receive the sign of the cross as a token of your new life in Christ, in which you shall not be ashamed to fight. Now here's the mission as it's conceived in this prayer: to fight bravely under his banner against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and to continue as his faithful soldier and servant to the end of your days. Amen. You've been set out in your baptism on a mission to be a soldier and a servant of the risen Christ. Our baptismal identity is then inherently missional. You see, identity leads to vocation. Anointing leads to mission, always. And this is the opposite of the fashionable beliefs about identity today, which are oriented inward, express yourself, rather than outward. Give yourself away. Go give yourself away, Christ Church. That's who you are, baptized in Christ. You are a generous giver. Give yourself away for the glory of God, making Christ known. Christian identity always directs us toward God and neighbor, not toward the self as an endless object of navel-gazing introspection. Why is Matthew chapter 3 so important for us? I think this is an easy feast to overlook in the Christian calendar. This is an easy passage to glide over. It's not dense like Paul's letters. We can easily pass by this, but it is so important for us. And here's why. Because discipleship that begins with us, self-referential, begins with us, our feelings, our activity, our performance, our status, our achievements, always ends in exhaustion. Always ends in exhaustion. Rather, discipleship that begins with being rooted in Christ's identity, our baptismal identity as God's beloved sons and daughters, ends by his grace in fruitfulness. It may not always feel fruitful, but God ensures us that it ends in fruitfulness. You see, if you do not know who you are in Christ, you will inevitably attempt to build your own identity on something else. What you feel about yourself, who you are, your achievements, what you've done, in such roots for who you are shallow. And shallow roots create brittle and fragile disciples. This is precisely the crisis of identity that we see in our culture today. The modern self is overburdened because it must be self-invented. What a burden to carry. And when identity is self-created, it becomes easily fragile. When identity is God-given, though, it becomes deeply rooted, unshakable, like the oaks in this yard outside the doors here. Go outside today. Don't care what anybody else thinks of you, and run into the trees. Just run, full on. Give it your best shot. Knock it over. See if you can move it. See if any leaves move. It's rooted. It's established. The oak tree knows that it's an oak tree. And it's confident in its oak tree-ness. It's unshakable. The same promise is given to us. Christian, your identity is rooted in the Son of God. The eternal Word. God has spoken it into existence. Your identity. It cannot be shaken. It cannot be moved. So stand firm and courageous as a bold witness for the risen Christ, making him known. It's so freeing. You see, Psalm 89 reminds us, just beyond what we offered together in verses 32 and 33, that God's covenant love is the ground of our security. It's what holds our roots into the soil. When he says, my loving kindness, this is the voice of God, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. What's more sure than that? But he continues, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. You are held in secure covenantal love. This covenantal, steadfast, unfailing love undergirds Christ's identity as the Father's beloved Son and ours as the Father's beloved children, as sons and daughters in Christ. You see, you cannot be a courageous witness for him if you are constantly unsure of whether you are God's child. Or whether God delights in you. That doesn't mean that your life is hunky-dory and that you do everything right. But you are identified, rooted in Christ, and therefore the Father's delight in him is applied to you. We can have a confidence in his love for us that doesn't hold us back but frees us for what he's called us to do. We cannot be bold in mission if our identity wavers with our performance or our feelings. But if you know yourself to be God's beloved child in Christ, called, loved, sent, your witness becomes steady and courageous, deeply rooted in the very life and love of God. You see, a church that knows who it is in Christ is a church ready for mission, ready to make Christ known. If we do not know who we are in him, we will never proclaim him. If we forget our baptismal identity, we will slip into either cultural Christianity, Christian identity as a heritage, not union with Christ, or into some kind of secular identity that is self-invented and curated, fragile. The world doesn't need a church performing from insecurity. The world doesn't need a church performing from fear. The world doesn't need a church cosplaying Christian identity. What the world needs is a church deeply rooted in the Father's love, filled to overflowing with the Spirit's anointing. United in the death to sin, the world, the flesh, the devil, and the life, the new creation life that is ours in Christ, united to the Son. This week, ask yourself a handful of diagnostic questions as you ponder these words from Matthew's gospel. Ask yourself, do I live from my baptismal identity, from my union with Christ, or from my insecurities, or from my performance, my achievements? Where I am tempted to construct my identity instead of receiving it as God's gift, as a gift, good gift from God, where am I tempted to construct my identity instead of receiving it as God's good gift? Lastly, how is the Spirit calling me to live more fully as one who is not only forgiven, but sent to make Christ known? You see, mission grows from identity, not strategy. It's not absent strategy, but a strategy without people who have a firm identity in Christ, no fruitfulness will come of that. No lasting fruit and glory for the kingdom of God. Returning to the Jordan here this morning, we see Jesus standing in the water. We see the heavens open, the Spirit descends, and we hear the thunderous voice of our Father say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In your baptism, in my baptism, we are united to that one. Named as God's own, claimed by Him, adopted by the Father, filled with His Spirit, sent on the Son's mission. And this is the root system of discipleship. This is the foundation for our witness. This Christ Church is who you are. Each one of you today who's been baptized into Christ, this is who you are. Child of God, loved. So let's go back to the basics. Not merely to simplify, but to strengthen our roots in Christ. A world frantic for identity does not need more self-constructed narratives. It needs men, and it needs women, it needs children, it needs youth whose identity is anchored securely in Christ Himself. So remember on this feast of the baptism of our Lord who you are. Return to your baptism, and we're going to help you with that here in just a minute. And from that deep font of identity, make Christ known this day, this week, this month, this year, for the life that you've been entrusted. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.